Okay, what were you saying?
I was just saying I'm going to have to go pick up my daughter from school here in a minute, so I'm just going to mute myself and just listen.
Perfect.
To everybody, okay?
Yep, that
Thank
works.
You. Cool.
That works.
Did you go to the the thing last night? Were you in town?
The what thing?
The Freedom Club. Freedom Club.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm always there. Tuesday night. Not last night.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, second Tuesday of the month.
That's when it is. I need to put that on my calendar.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. That sort of came up last minute for.
Yeah, plus we can put a face to a name.
In my house.
It's always better.
Say again. Huh?
Plus we can put a face to a name, which is always better.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I walked in briefly for a minute, but then I had some emergency situation present itself. I had to go.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But actually, I remember talking to you when I went to the first one that where I, you know, heard about the program and everything.
Yep.
I had a property in Wheat Ridge that I had under contract and I was trying to do something with, and I'd mentioned pitching it to Rob, which I eventually did end up putting it through to him. But yeah, it wasn't a good deal.
No.
Not in the end. Luckily, I got my earnest money back.
Oh, that's the one you sent an email about that said it
yeah,
basically due
exactly.
to the kindness of the seller?
Yeah.
Pretty much? Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, which is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember meeting you there face-to-face that night.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, make it out to the next one for sure.
Oh, I will. I will.
Who just chimed in?
Scott.
Hey, Scott. So it's four, showing a minute after. Let's give it a couple minutes. This thing is just going to start dinging for a while. It's hard to talk over. Hey, John.
Hey. I think Aaron
Who
said
else
hello.
Came on? What's that?
Aaron, I think.
I heard another Aaron.
Yeah,
we got a couple. We have a couple errands. I'm not sure how many are on.
Yeah, in California.
Okay. Welcome.
Darren Mancuso.
What's up, Darren?
How's it going?
All right.
Going good.
Going good. I replied back to your email today, Mike.
Line. What's that?
Judah, Lindsay, Michael are here on the line.
Hey, you too.
Hey, guys.
Well, who's kicking us off? I know I didn't get everybody's beat, but Scott, I heard you first. You want to bat lead off?
Sure. So basically where I'm at, right?
Yep.
Okay, so I did step one, a few days ago. I did step two. Now, I posted my ad for my bird dogs.
Yep.
Man, it's like a half an hour. I had probably a couple calls, but by this morning, I had about 15 calls.
Okay.
So
that's a good problem. Good
so I have some bird dogs out there now.
Are they out currently working?
Yes, they are currently working,
okay.
But
nice.
Haven't anybody sent anything in yet. You know,
okay.
When I looked in the campaign, so I haven't seen anything yet.
Okay.
So
if they're out driving, check in
right
with
now.
Them. Make sure that, you know, the tech's working. Make sure it's coming in off their phone. Have them, you know, maybe send a sample lead if you want, you know, before bird dogs go and drive. If you want to run do a dry run, tell them to run outside and, you know, if they're assuming they're in a neighborhood somewhere, shoot a photo of a property, even the one they live in, you know, something like that. Do a test run so that when they go to the field, they're dialed and ready to go.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, good stuff, man. It's a race to 250 leads. as they start coming in, get your Upwork ad posted for a VA, because you don't want to get, you know, you don't want to get a bunch of leads and then go post the ad and then wait. So overlap that a little bit so that you're ready to go when the leads come in.
Now, question for you. Should I, because I have one per zip right now. Should I have two per zip, you think?
You have one what?
One per zip code.
One per zip code? No, a person
can
handle
per
a zip code. Yeah.
Okay.
They should be able to handle multiple. I mean, you get somebody that's hungry and they can take on a half a city for you. So, yeah, that's
okay.
A good
Tom
place
here.
To start. The hey, Tom, the cream will rise to the top like it always does.
Okay.
And then, you know, you can cut ties with bird dogs who aren't putting forth effort, and you can turn over more territory to the ones that are making it happen. So,
all right, cool.
Yeah, good stuff, Scott. Good stuff. I'm gonna have Tom go next because Tom Dickey. Yeah,
that's me.
That
yeah,
is
man.
You.
I am getting stoked.
Here's the thing, Tom. Share with everybody. We all have a comfort zone. We were talking about it on Monday, and we all through this program are going to learn to get outside of our comfort zone with one step or another. Some people are more comfortable with certain parts of it, and other people have challenges with other things. So, tell me, we talked about, because you had planned on making calls on Tuesday, and I'm not, you know, this isn't to put you on the spot or anything like that, but you overcame a big hurdle this week. A big hurdle,
that's for
right?
Sure, that's damn sure. Yeah, man. You know, I've been stuck for years, dude. Stuck for years. You know, everything seemed overwhelming. The putting together the systems and everything else, but the main thing was like picking up the phone and talking to people.
What did that phone weigh?
I talk to people on the job all the time. I mean,
right.
All the time.
Right. But
so,
not sellers.
Tuesday, I didn't do anything. Nothing. I mean, I don't know what the day went. Came and went. Yesterday,
yep.
I made some calls, and first guy
how
I called.
How did they go?
The first guy I called, it went super well. Super easy to talk to, and I may have a deal coming out of it. I don't know. We'll see. It's looking looking pretty good.
Wait. We're not just gonna blow past this. Everybody
okay.
That's on, listen. The phone weighed boatloads to Tom. And I know Tom. He's local in Colorado. He comes to Freedom Club. He came to our big three-day event, and he talks to people very naturally. But for whatever reason, right, we all have, like I said, we have our comfort zone, and we're going to do things throughout this course that are outside of it. And so, you know, he told you. We were talking about on the office hours Monday. Tom had the day off on Tuesday this week, 2 days ago. And he said, I'm going to make my first call. And I said, okay, you know, we're behind you. He went all day Tuesday. Nothing happened. Went all day Wednesday. So I saw him Tuesday night at Freedom Club. And I said, all right, man, you're going to make a call tomorrow morning. And you owe me an email that said, Mike, I made the first phone call. And it was like it was early afternoon. He shoots me an email that says, I have to run an errand. I'll make the call when I get back. So that was another half of a day. And then I finally got an email before I left work, and he said I made the call and it went great. So I'm making a big deal out of this, Tom, because that's a major hurdle. And the thing about it is once you clear the hurdle once, it'll never be there again. So congratulations, way to go. That's a big deal.
Congrats, Tom.
Yeah,
nice,
it's
Tom.
Huge. It's huge. We get stuck on certain things, and that's why – you know, Tom's consistent. He always chimes into office hours. He hears about the others of you having conversations. He knows it goes well, and now that's where he's headed because he blew past that barrier. So I didn't want to make light of it, Tom. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. You know, we're all here. We all, like I said, we have different levels of comfort. Some things are comfortable and some things just aren't. And congratulations on getting through that. It's a big deal.
Well, yeah. I mean, now I've made a bunch of calls since then, and a lot of you know, nobody picking up or whatever, but dialing the phone is not a problem.
Isn't that amazing?
And
once
people pick up, I just bumble through it.
Right.
You know?
which is
really
fine. That's perfect.
Not a big problem.
I mean,
and so
your
far,
first call,
just,
you sent details in today about a possible deal on the first call, the first guy that answers.
The first guy that answered. Wasn't the first call I made, but it was the first guy that answered. And then I just talked to another guy trying to find something, and I ended up talking to a management company. So I said, hey, by the way, do you know a friendly title company for investors? Oh, yeah, he gave me the name of that. He gave me the name of a guy who's trying to sell an apartment building. So I'm going to call him just for the hell of it, find out what's going on with that.
I love it. Here's my guess. You talk naturally to people. You're easy to have a conversation with. I would guess this becomes one of your favorite parts of this business. That's my hunch.
Yeah, it's cool. It's really been fun. It's like, oh, yeah.
Then it goes from biggest fear to something you'll say, hey, I need more leads. I need people to call. These are going to be fun conversations. So.
Well, I already had to hire a skip tracer to make sure I had enough stuff to call. I got another skip tracer going for us to get my other leads so keyed up so I can do it.
Nice.
So,
killer.
Yeah. It's been awesome, man.
That's a major hurdle. And you know what? It'll never be in your way again. So congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
Wow.
Cool. Who else has an update? Who's on steps 3, 4, and 5?
This is Naif.
Naif. You never chime in first. What's going on? Oh, wait.
Yeah, so should I go?
Yeah, I'm just going to start saying, Naif, if you're on, go ahead.
All right, perfect. Yeah, so a couple of things, the bad news first. So, the skip tracing part is taking a heck of a lot longer.
There's just good learning, that's all.
Yeah, so that's taking, much longer than we had anticipated. And then I think, in the Philippines and in the East Asia, there's Easter going on, which is like a massive holiday. So... our VAs were like, missing in action for almost 2 days, which never happened. So there's a lot of these small things that got in the way, which I completely did not anticipate. And so meanwhile, the way we set it up is that we have one VA, and I think, some people, if they wanted to set it up this way, it could be helpful, is I have one VA going to the county records, getting the exact name. We pass it into these guys who have the skip tracing, and we shoot a video as well on YouTube to make sure that they do exactly what we want them to do using the tools that we want them to use, because we provide the tools as well. And then that goes to another VA, which will basically call up all the numbers and get rid of all the disconnected numbers, because there has been times in the past week where I would spend 4 hours dialing after dialing and I don't reach anybody. So that this way, by the time I get the phone calls, whether it's voicemail or whatever, at least I know the phone numbers are working, the errors are there, and I can start, making calls. So that our goal is Monday, I'm back in action for the sellers. And so meanwhile, I've been calling yesterday, which was very uncomfortable for me, was calling hard money lenders.
You asked me that question through the email. Yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously, there's no tone in email, so I couldn't tell what your level of hesitation was. How did it go?
Oh, it was good. I mean, it wasn't. They don't want to share their clientele information, obviously.
Correct.
So the way I make calls nowadays is like, it doesn't matter who I call, I'm gonna get something out of it. So I'm like, listen, if you have people that you can share with me, they're like, no, we're not gonna do that. I'm like, okay, fine, no problem. Can you pass my information to them? And nowadays, I'm like, listen, I even have a few deals. I'm going to send them your way. You tell me if your top buyers are looking for this kind of thing or not. So, and I also got one VA to get me every single Go Section 8 that was available in all of Cleveland. And there was about 200 numbers. So I went through up to 60 numbers so far. And my pitch is basically like, hey, I see you have something for rent, but are you looking to buy or sell? And lo and behold, there's actually quite a few people that are either looking to buy or looking to sell. And so that's another thing I do. And through Craigslist, I also set up all the pipelines. And there's a couple of deals coming along. And one I had very specific question for. For the lease option type of thing, or where you set up terms, can you go after listed properties, or do they have to be unlisted first before we can do that?
Any seller that's willing to talk, you can do that, listed or unlisted. Now, the listing agent may have a little issue with you bypassing them and going to the seller because that's the seller's call. We typically have that conversation when there's not a listing agent involved, but, you know, respect their relationship. Go to the listing agent and say, you know, hey, here's the thing. I don't know that a cash offer works in this scenario, but would your seller entertain, you know?
No, I spoke to the seller directly because he posted up for rent on Craigslist.
Okay.
So
if the,
nowadays,
if the
when I
is
see
marketing out there, go direct. Yeah, go direct to the source.
Yeah. So
find,
whenever I see something for rent,
lead,
I just call them up. I'm like,
yeah,
sorry?
No, you're fine. If you find the
lead
online, everybody, this is just a general statement. If you find the lead online and there's a listing agent, respect the relationship between the seller and the listing agent and go through the listing agent. But yeah, you're fine if the seller posted online.
Yeah, the seller posted it for rent. I'm like, okay, so why is it listed and it's for rent? So clearly he's not selling it. Then I went on Zillow and I saw that, you know, he's been trying to sell this property for a year and I think he finally listed with an agent.
Yeah, it's probably both.
And
whatever happens first, he'll take. Seems like.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Could be.
So so that's where, you know, I'm at. And basically I'm trying to make connections left, right, and center because, you know, my holdup right now is speaking to sellers. And I even put a stop on my lead generation because there's too many leads coming in. I have over 400. Yeah, so the skip tracing has been the bottleneck I never thought would be there. I thought the drivers would be the problem. They'd be flaking on me. Now it seems like the skip tracing. It's shocking to me that this is an issue.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
hey,
Mike, this is Vin. So I work with Knife, as you know. But I just had, like, I was wondering, what do the numbers, what should they look like? You know, let's say you have 100 leads that come in through your drivers, and then you're going to send those over to have them skip traced. But how does that kind of, like, work down the numbers? Do you know what I mean?
How many are you going to find good data on? I don't know what question.
Yeah, like, for example, like, you know, you have 100 leads. How many numbers will come back? Will it be, you know, maybe on average 5 numbers per lead? So that's 500 numbers. Of those 500 numbers, there's going to be X amount that are going to be disconnected, wrong numbers, whatever. So then you just eliminate, and then it was 50%, you're back to 250. Out of those 250, you're going to call them, and, you know, you might be able to reach X percentage, and that might turn out to be 50. And then out of those 50, there might be 10 people that are going to be like an actual call where they're interested in selling at a lower price.
Right.
Kind of thing. And then it's going to work out to be 2 contracts, and then 1 contract's going to close, kind of thing, you know?
I would guess.
You guys have some...
Yeah, so, Rob, I don't know all that off the top of my head. That was a lot of questions.
Yeah.
I can tell you, Rob, Rob just sent out, he kind of calls it 2 closings per 100 leads, and that's kind of a ballpark that's got direct mail thrown in there, that kind of thing. You know, this topic has come up a few times on this call. 60-ish% of the leads you skip traced have a productive number somewhere in the mix, and then VAs are returning anywhere from 3 to 10 per lead, typically, something like that. So there isn't really it's so all over the board.
Okay.
You know, some vacant house.
Because for us, if we were anywhere close to that, I think we'd be thrilled. But it just turns out that so far the skip tracing has been such a hassle for us, and I think I'm even generous if I say that 10% of our leads generate anything.
Because they haven't been skip traced correctly, and they haven't used the right tools.
Yeah.
And then later on we find out they're using white pages and yellow pages, so now we provide the tools.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's surprising
over
half, that
60 to 65% from the past office hours conversations.
Okay.
You know, that's been kind of a across the board. A little bit better than half. We'll recover a productive number. Here's the thing, though. You can take the non-productive ones, skip trace them again, run them through a different service, and then Rob did a training where if you want to get – I mean, if there's a deal that you just want to know about, have a VA go on Google Maps, look up the subject house, then go to – the neighbors, pull their address, skip trace those addresses, and try and get a neighbor on the phone. and say, hey, I'm an investor and I'm trying to buy, you know, this beat up house on the corner right across the street from you. You know, are you willing to talk to me about it for 3 minutes? Do you know the owners? Do they ever show up? Does anybody come mow the grass? Yada, yada, yada. And Rob's gone even as far as, you know, somebody said, yeah, you know, somebody shows up every 2 weeks and cuts the grass, so they're at least doing that. And he said, you know, I'll send you a $15 Starbucks gift card if next time you see somebody mowing the grass, you run over and talk to them real quick to give me a name and a number.
Okay.
This is Aaron from Colorado. And I was just going to interject here because on the telly, that's what I've found in success with and getting in touch with folks is sometimes intellies will give you relatives. It'll say, these are the relatives of this person. And I've called their relatives before and said, hey, I'm trying to get in touch with this person.
Right.
Or, you know, is that a relation of yours? And, yeah, the last person I got in touch with it was his dad. He's like, well, yeah, I know him. And gave me his number.
Nice.
So,
yeah, that's why you skip trace the heirs. So, yeah.
Yeah,
we're
skip tracing the heirs as well.
Anybody you can talk to, even to the point of that, like I just explained, use Google Maps, grab neighbor addresses and skip trace those, call them up. So, you know, it depends on – this is – I'll tell you what, you guys, this is the extra hustle that creates deals that nobody does. Nobody skip traces neighbors. Nobody calls the heirs. You know, they maybe send a direct mail piece. They don't do anything with the hang-ups. They don't do anything with the return to senders, you know. Rob just closed. He was talking about a Tuesday night. He sent 909 postcards. He got 100 and I don't remember the exact number. He got a 14% response. Four deals out of it. Two came from the hang-ups. Two came from people that left messages. $10,000 wholesale fee on each one, so 40 grand. And then he still has to go. You know, he'll go through the other hang-ups, all the return to senders, and pull more out of it. That's just on the front end. So this is how you squeeze the, you know, investors pick up a damp towel and they barely wring it and a few things fall out. And then, you know, what Rob does and what we talk about here through the success teams is, you know, wring that towel. Wring that thing harder. There's more that'll fall out.
And
so,
yeah. Also, and thanks for telling me how to, you know, track down the LLCs because that, you know, I couldn't quite do that.
Naif sent me an email and said he pulled the cash buyers from FreedomSoft, and he said, Mike, it's a lot of LLCs. What do we do? And so I just pointed him towards Secretary of State websites. So I'm most familiar with ours here in Colorado, but, you know, you go to the Colorado Secretary of State, plug in the company name, and it'll start pulling some information up for you. So if anybody else was wondering about that, skip tracing LLCs. It's a good place to start, Secretary of State website.
So he's calling the cash buyers to find buyer leads, and then looking up.
Say that again, Darren.
He's using the cash buyers and FreedomSoft to build his buyers list. Okay.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. One of the steps, the buyers list step, I think it's step five. You know, go into FreedomSoft, run your area, and then pull. It ranks them automatically from most properties bought in whatever the time frame is that you're searching, whether it's last 90 days, 6 months, 5 years, whatever.
Yeah.
Most to fewest. So grab the first three or four pages and skip trace those to build your buyers list. It's a great way to jumpstart it. So.
Yeah, so I'm basically building my buyers list from the cash buyers list on FreedomSoft and trying to skip trace the LLCs. I'm going to make a video and get the VAs get on that. And also, me personally, I'm calling up as many Section 8 as possible to hopefully finding buyers and sellers because my actual sellers that I've been generating hasn't paid off because of, you know, enormous struggles and hustles for skip tracing. So I'm just building up my buyers list as much as I can.
That'll all catch up.
Yeah, because I don't want, you know, my next bottleneck to have, you know, multiple deals and I can't sell them because my only option is to post it on Craigslist.
Yeah. Next time you have a live one, we've got way more options than that. So, and this is good stuff. So guys, here's what's going on. First thing to mention, Naif and Vin, and they've got a third. They've got a lot going on, but there are three of them. So, if you're thinking, "Holy cow, I'm not moving at that speed," don't sweat it. Right? We move at different speeds here, but they've got a team of three. So obviously, they can get things done pretty quick. But what they did that was really smart was And this is always our recommendation. If there's a bottleneck for some reason, first of all, do whatever you can to unplug it, right? But, you know, he was talking about holiday in the Philippines, people just aren't working, whatever. It is what it is. So it looks like there's going to be a little bit of a delay. So don't just wait, right? Look a little bit downstream. Where are we headed? And so what he's doing, like you just said, jumping on the phone, building the buyers list. So good update, you guys. Who else steps 3, 4, and 5?
Mike, this is Josh.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Talking to you.
You know,
how are things?
Things are good. We have our girl Nikki making calls now.
Yep.
And
yep.
So she has spent some time on the phone this week, and she's she just set me another appointment, but she set me 7 different appointments to talk to people, and we sent out a contract.
How many?
7.
7? I love
mm-hmm.
it.
And then we sent out a contract today. So, and this is just calling older leads that, you know, either they didn't want to sell at the time, or, you know, maybe we weren't able to reach them, or maybe we couldn't.
No, Josh, there are never deals in the old leads that you've neglected. So change your update. That doesn't happen.
right.
What?
Some of you can't pick up on my sarcasm yet, but you
will.
Yeah,
right. Right. Yeah, so
I love it.
So we were able to send out a contract with that today, and was able to get
that's killer.
Every bit of data since, you know, she's doing that, I was able to get every bit of data that we have set up where we can plug it each number into CallFire like we use with all of our vacants. So she will be starting on that tomorrow. And and when we loaded them in there, you know, CallFire will kick out the bad numbers.
Okay.
So when we loaded all the leads we had in there, and just the ones which we still have a couple hundred, we need to get skip traced.
Yep.
We had 671 valid numbers.
Wow.
So because, you know, as everybody says on here, you know, you call 10 numbers and a bunch of them are, you know, just disconnected or what have you.
Right.
So this is
huge. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
And then I'll kind of recap.
Well, you know, something we were looking, you know, questions about is, I don't know if anybody on this call has hired anyone who already has TLO, because we were thinking about getting some of our stuff secondarily skip traced.
Yep.
You know, we obviously thought about getting it ourselves, but, you know, it would be a little faster if we could just hire someone who had it, or I don't know if anybody has anybody they want to recommend or anywhere, any luck they had had. That's pretty much where we're at right now.
Yeah, I know we have people on the phone that have VAs who have access to services. I don't know if they have TLO specifically.
Okay.
But a couple,
Mike,
couple things. Josh and Quinn, they've been in real estate for a bit, right? And so they had some old leads. Some of you, if you're new to real estate, you don't have a couple hundred old leads sitting around, right? So don't sweat that. But what they did was they wanted to get somebody on the phone, first of all, to see if there's motivation. If there is motivation, you know, how high is it? You know, what's the level of motivation for the seller to actually want to sell? And so those are, you know, for all of you, if you're new on the phone, we want you to go through that process. But once you're comfortable with it, once you feel like you can train that process, you're going to do something very similar to what Josh and Quinn have done. And they went out and I hired a VA. The VA is now making those initial phone calls. And then, as you just heard Josh say, set 7 appointments. So you have somebody, and it's a very easy call, right? They're doing the legwork to get a hold of the homeowner. Hey, Mr. and Mrs. Homeowner, you know, calling about this property. Just have them go through the script like you do. So now you can train on the script. Figure out, right? Just what I said. Are you looking to sell? Yes. If yes, why? You know, how quickly do you want this thing gone? What's the motivation? And if they're motivated, then ask a few details about the property, right? And this is all in step 4, talking to sellers. So I'm not going to recap the whole thing, but get some details. Then Josh gets a call from the VA, Nikki, I think you said her name was, and says, hey,
Nikki,
I just set an appointment for you tomorrow. Here's the address. Mm-hmm. This is the homeowner. This is why they need to sell. And here's some details about the property. That's, you know, this is a killer now, because now Josh's time and this is time well spent. Jump on the phone, recap, bam, put the offer out.
Right.
The VA is doing the legwork. Hey, so, yeah.
How effective is it to set up the appointment where you have to physically go to the property, though? Or wouldn't he want to jump on the call right then and pick up the conversation if they're motivated?
So that's where you would communicate. So they would communicate with Nikki, and they would tell Nikki if they wanted to, hey, if this person is motivated, you either three-way me in, or you tell me, you tell them we're going to hang up, and I'm going to have, not Josh, Mr. Josh, what's your last name again?
Sullivan.
I'm going to have Mr. Sullivan call you right back, or however you want to be framed. But yeah, that's something that you would figure out with your person on the phone. You know, if they've got some experience and this person is looking for an offer now, then you instruct them on how to handle that. Absolutely.
Right.
Yep.
And she has access to my Google Calendar, so she knows where what's going on with me and how accessible I am at that point. So, and then immediately when she gets one, I see the text coming through my phone, Miss White, 1423, Southeast Drive or whatever, wants 30. She'll just send me little highlights, but then she's also got all of it in the notes because I put it right in FreedomSoft under that person. I mean, that way it pops up under that person's contact. So when she's reading through it, when she gets a hold of that person, she's asking every question, and every time they answer one, she puts a note in there. You know, grandma died, house was left to her, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. I was just wondering if there's any fallout from, waiting or trying to set up a second appointment or, over time there's going to be a certain percentage that'll probably fall out.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm getting hold of them immediately if I can, if need be. If not, I'm calling back, soon the next day. And
yeah.
Mike, prepping them for that offer, they're ready for it when it comes. I mean, by telling them, hey, we buy at a significant discount. I mean, they're ready. Whether they're saying no or not, that's fine. But, it's not a shock when, I'm offering them, $10,000. I always throw a little bit on there, $10,125.
Yeah. Are you doing that on the very next call, or are you sending out a property runner, or how are you going about that second call?
I just call them up, talk to them, say, hey, how's it going? Like today, hey, Mr. Knox, how's it going? We spoke a little while back, and I had Nikki follow up with you. Yeah, I know we talked. You got some buy and holds in the panhandle. Just went on to talk 5 or 10 minutes, talked about real estate and what he's doing and why he's moving. And I said, okay, man, well, we can get under contract for 30. I'm going to get some of my investors in there. Talked about a time period.
So you make the offer over the phone right then?
Right then. Told him I was going to get a contract to him. Told him when I was going to make it good till, and right then. Mm-hmm.
Cool. And no in sight unseen, not even going out to see the property.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, exactly.
Says the fix and flip guy, right? Is that's hard to comprehend, isn't it?
Yeah,
this is Darren from Cleveland.
I know it is. That's why I said that. So, Darren, here's the order. So, everybody, Darren, he's got multiple flip deals running right now. How many houses have you fixed and flipped, Darren?
At least 15 under construction right now.
15 under right now. So he's moving at a rapid pace. But the wholesaling game and the virtual wholesaling game is a new animal, right? So in the fix and flip business, right, Darren's signing for the money.
Yeah.
He absolutely wants to see the house. He's going to drive out there. He's flipping in his own city, and he's going to go see it. So now we're bringing in concepts, and this is why he asked the question. So, Darren, the process is a little bit of due diligence, just enough to make an offer, the offer, then the offer's accepted, then you go full speed ahead to see what you actually have under contract. If your price works, close as is. If it doesn't, now you're the deal on the table, and we use an inspection period to renegotiate what we need the price to be with the seller. Now, they don't have to say yes, but your odds are better that they will because you're the deal on the table and you're now bringing inspection items. Hey, I originally thought I could pay this, but after further review, this is the list of things wrong with this property. I need to adjust that purchase price a little bit. Does that still work for you?
Cool.
And you just get new paperwork. So, slightly different order. Good question.
Now you got commitment though, because you got the contract. So
absolutely. You're the deal on. Right. You're the deal on the table. Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you.
Yep. Good question. Hey,
Josh.
Who else has an update? And then let's I know we have some questions that are coming up. Let me try and get through some updates, and then we'll do some Q&A
sure.
at the end, so hang on to those. Who else? Steps 3, 4, and 5.
Hey, Mike, I'll go. This
yeah.
is Darren.
Yeah, Darren.
So I started with Section 3 today, and really my biggest hurdle is giving up control. And so, you know, for me, it's a lot easier for me to go to Realtor.com, look up the properties, and put them in the spreadsheet myself. So the big
yep.
the big letting go moment for me today was to actually go set up the Upwork account and figure
yep.
out how to ship this work off to somebody else. And I did the same thing within my own business. We do a lot of remodeling. So I called up my assistant here in Cleveland and just said, look, here's the estimate. Go write it up for me. And then I sent the other work off to the VA in India and said, hey, go to these three cities and pick off the bottom 100 cheapest houses and put them in the spreadsheet. So that was a big.
So, Darren, this is beyond big. This is a massive step, everybody. Listen,
yeah.
if you do everything in your business, you have a job.
Right.
Period.
Right.
So, I mean, this is as big as Tom making a first phone call. This is a huge deal because now, especially, here's the thing, you'll never go back. You'll
right.
say, this is what I need done. I could do that, but I'd rather go play with the kids. So quick email to VA saying, hey, can you do this for me? And then have it, you know, email it to me. And then when you go to work in the morning, it'll be there. And then you just heard Josh and Quinn. I mean, this is the business side of it. You guys, the step
right.
one is get through a couple transactions, get the real estate figured out. But so many investors get stuck there. And they never really create a business. And so it has to go, the conversation has to go to the next step. So if you're on here and you haven't done a deal yet, right, you're on step one, stay focused on that step. But it's so valuable for you to hear the conversation about how do you get, you know, to the 10,000-foot level view above your business and start
right.
to put pieces in place. Like Nikki making a phone call says, Josh, you know, doesn't even call, maybe text and says, hey, I just put another appointment on your calendar for tomorrow at noon. And then she has access to Josh's calendar, and he blocks it out and says, these are my available times. And she goes, oh, noon's available, plugs it in. So that's where you're right. You're not all there yet, but that's where you're headed. So, yeah, that's,
yeah,
Darren, that's
that
huge.
Was a big move.
It's huge.
Yeah, that was a big move for me. And then I went to the pool. And so now when I get back to the office later tonight, even as stupid as it is, it's just, here, go to this website and put these 100 names into this or addresses into this spreadsheet.
Yep.
It's like, it took me probably more time to set up the Upwork and do all that than probably to actually do the work, but at least
it's now
moving
it's set
in the
up.
Direction. Yeah, now it's set
right.
up, so now it's just going to feed on itself, hopefully. So
absolutely.
I just have
I'm telling you guys.
Question.
Yeah, go ahead. Absolutely.
So in your email earlier, you said that I picked my one top spot to invest in. And my question
yep.
is I sent the VA three cities, actually, to do the top 100.
Okay.
And I'm just, you know, unless you strongly advise me to not do that, I was just going to go full blast into three markets. And
yeah, I do. So Darren asked, he sent an email in earlier, and he said, hey, Mike, I like three cities. Can I just launch three simultaneously? And I said, no, pick one. Here's why. Do one so that you can see the whole process and go through it one time. So everybody listen up. This first market that you all are launching, this is the absolute slowest you will ever launch a new market as a real estate investor. Somebody's doing dishes or something, hit *6 for us to mute out. This is the slowest you will ever go through this process and launch a market, but learn it the first time and go through it once, and then you'll be able to duplicate it. When Rob goes into a new market now, he'll be in the middle of probably an offer sent, but definitely in the middle of making offers and building a buyer's list inside of a week. Easy. And so when you learn it the first time, so go slow now to go fast later. Does that make sense?
Mm. So just pick one of the three then?
Pick one of the three. Yeah, and my preference, like I told you, was out of state. Because let's just get that hurdle out of the way. Because you're comfortable in All Cleveland right. or Columbus,
right.
wherever you're at.
Right, right, right.
Pick a different one.
All right.
That's my input. So at the end of the day, Darren, you're a big boy and you can do whatever the heck you want, but that's my feedback.
Right.
How about that?
Yeah, so. The mentality that I had was I'm already sending a job to a VA. Why not just have them do it for all three markets?
I get it.
You know,
but go through, like I said, go a little slower now because it'll speed you up long run.
Okay.
You'll see all the right. different steps. That's my feedback. So great
all
update.
Right, thank you.
Yeah, I like that feedback, too. This is Lindsay Michael, by the way.
Hey, Lindsay.
And I find myself relating with Darren a lot because we're super busy out here in Southern California flipping properties and doing rehabs and stuff like that, so managing contractors and everything. So, and it's good because there's a huge, huge profit right here, but so I want to prioritize that. But on the other hand, we signed up for this because we want to expand and we want
yep.
to grow the business.
Yep.
So it's hard to set aside time to do that when you have a profit margin like looking you right in the face, just get it closed. But so
you got to get up a little earlier and go to bed a little later.
What's that?
You got to get up a little earlier and go to bed a little later to get it in, to get it done.
We're about to mock that out. We just need to hire
even
people.
Even more reason to do it.
It's those little things that you can get off your plate. And that's why having – you get a. Here's the thing, everybody. You get a good VA on your team, you can have them do 10 different things. You really can. Get somebody that's competent, that you have a good relationship with. Rob doesn't do little things that don't – he's really good at. Does this activity directly correlate to profit, right? Because that's where his time needs to be spent. And
it's
so
a hard mic.
If it has anything to do with, if it doesn't, it gets outsourced and it gets pushed off. And so
hey, Mike,
it's so – yeah.
How much does he pay for, or do you guys pay for a good VA doing a bunch of stuff,
$6-$7 an hour?
Really?
Yeah, there are some different VA price points. I mean, you can hire, PhD VAs or, master's level, and they're not $6-$7 an hour. We're not talking about some of that stuff. Some of you will build businesses to the point where you want executive assistant, regional manager, that kind of thing. And, you would want somebody in the States in your location most likely to handle that. But, pushing off these tasks, they need to get done. You just don't need to do them. Your time is better spent elsewhere. So, having a VA that can skip trace, a VA that can do research, that can do, like in Darren's case, he wants to know, you want to plot that data. It's valuable for Darren to know, what does the city look like? Where is the activity happening? It's just not valuable for Darren to go do data entry. So,
right.
But this is the business side of this business that people neglect. So here's what's going to happen. Lindsay and Judy, you're busy. Darren, you're busy. Everybody's busy. But you've got to find time to work on the business instead of in the business, or you will never get out of it, ever. If you think otherwise, you're mistaken. You'll wake
That's
up
where
in
I need
5 years.
To push me hard, Mike.
You'll wake up in 5 years, 10 years from now, saying, "Holy crap, I'm doing the same thing I was doing 5 years ago."
All right.
So you have to. Well, I shouldn't say that. We're all adults here. You don't have to. But your two options are: build a business or keep moving forward with a job forever.
Right.
Those are the two deals on the table. So.
I'm begging you to make me do it, though.
Yeah, well, you'll never hear anything different from us. I'm never going to tell you. I'm never going to say, Darren, go into GoSection8.com and grab 100 houses and put them into Excel. You will never hear us say that. So, big step. That's a big step to overcome. that you outsourced it, because you even admitted that you like to have control, and you have to let it go if you're going to build any type of business. You have to, and you know that. So, all right.
One thing I wanted to throw out there.
Yep.
It's a website or a service from India, and it's called FSice.com. We've been using it for maybe like 4 months now, and you just email them one task. If you don't want to hire a VA like full-time or something, or part-time, like permanently, you just email one task at a time. It's $1.50 for them to do that.
You're going to have to spell it. What is it called?
It's E-S-S-I, C as in cat, I-S-E. And
so E-double-S is in Sam?
F is in Frank. So E.
Oh, E-F-F.
Yeah, I-C-I-S-E.
Cool.
It's actually a word. But it's $45 a month, and you get 30 tasks. And we've been... Yeah, so it's technically $4.50 an hour. You can have them do up to the as much as you want, really.
Yep. Yeah, it's amazing. There are just no shortage of resources out there on what you can get done. So little one-off tasks like that too. Rob uses Fiverr quite a bit. F-I-V-E-R, just for little one-offs. But yeah, great. Great input there, Lindsay. Cool. Always good to know another website to go to get stuff done, especially because we have, you know, people on here that we know and trust that are using it. So,
yeah.
Cool. Who else has an update? Steps 3, 4, and 5.
Mike and Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hey. Okay. So the buyers that I have for those two properties, they drove by them.
Okay.
And then they said that they look just terrible. Now, if you remember right, the sellers had one listed for like 10.5 as far as rehab goes, and the other one 14.
Yep.
So I haven't sent the contract out yet, but I'm just going, okay, should I? Because the contract you had me fill out has nothing to do with it. It says nothing about inspections.
Right.
So should I throw another addendum in there? Right.
Yeah, if you want to get somebody over to, you know, take some pictures, or that'd be pretty interesting feedback to take to the sellers. And ask them, hey, do you have any photos of this place? I talked to a couple buyers that I know in the area, and they said they're pretty beat up. So, you know, what do they look like? I'm trying to get a feel for, you know, for what the fix-up dollars are. So how bad? Roof caved in, or? You still there, Mark? Hello? People are still on, right? It just got
really
quiet.
Yeah, I'm still on.
Who else is on?
Can you hear us?
I'm still here.
Yep. Okay. Weird.
Alabama's here.
Still here.
Hey, Bama. I don't. Mark, are you still on? I didn't think so. I don't know what happened. He'll call back in hopefully, and then we'll pick up where we left off. Who else? Alabama, you want to run?
Oh, sure.
Bama. What time's your closing tomorrow?
Bama. 1 p.m. Central Time.
1 p.m. Central.
Yeah, man, I love how this afternoon went. I was trying to do some medial tasks myself, and all of a sudden I get these emails to review HUDs. So I welcome the interruption, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've got another one that's supposed to close on HUDs I reviewed.
You have one Friday and Monday, right?
Monday, that's the big one, but I'm really having to split it with my partner because he really, really did a lot of work on it helping me negotiate. And, yeah, man, I mean, I let him have $4,000 or $5,000. If I get $7,000, I don't care. So, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And I guess the talk of the week is the one I emailed you about yesterday with the flood zone planning issue.
Yeah, so that doesn't get resolved until May. Did I read that right?
Yes, that is May.
Okay. Did you get paperwork in place on it?
I sent the contract out to the seller last night,
okay.
And I guess I made a mistake. I took the county records, and this guy's name is Marvin, his first name.
Okay.
and it said MJ Roy and Eleanor Roy. Well, MJ was his dad who was deceased, so I had to reissue the contract.
Gotcha.
And I haven't gotten it back. But he told me before I ever sent the contract, he said, I know this issue with this is what I didn't put in my email. He said, I know we have this issue with the city and the floodplain and the variance. He said, but regardless, John, this property is yours. You do not have to worry about that. So,
hey, that's,
I mean, I know
that's cool.
I mean, it doesn't mean a lot to a lot of people. But
yeah.
in Alabama, it means something. We're good
in
over
Bama,
there.
Alabama, it's gold. It's gold, yep.
Right.
Cool. I like
so
that.
So anyway, and that is a loan project for me, so that's a $10,000 spread right there. So.
Yep,
and
that one's not going to come together for a little bit. So
yeah, it's just 6 weeks out.
No really need to go into it on here, but there's something funky with a floodplain. With this property
it's
that John
horrible.
Has under contract, so it's got
to
go to the city for a
variance. Yeah, I'll make a long story short.
And
the city wanted them to jack up the house because it's in a floodplain because it was a fire damaged house, and the city got involved and issued permits. Yeah, so
that should be hard.
No.
Anyway,
but on top of that, I've got the little bitty one that the $750 one that I'm part of is supposed to close Tuesday, and then another one. JV and some guys out of Huntsville again with is for going and taking some pictures and putting them in Dropbox and sending to them, and I couldn't really find any buyers, but they found a local buyer, which is one of my buyers, but I'm getting $1,500 for that on the 25th. So.
Nice.
I mean, I'll take
it. Absolutely. Yeah, we take every check. Here's the thing. You're really going to have to focus on, you've got a lot running now. Don't turn off the faucet that caused all this. So now,
right.
You know, it's easy. Here's what causes the roller coaster, everybody. We push on the marketing. We generate the leads. We get deals. Then we start working the deals, and we forget about what caused them. We work to get all those deals closed, and then we wake up and go, oh, my gosh, there's nothing else in the pipeline. So when you get in the middle of it, and you're all going to be there. Some of you are there now. When you get in the middle of it, you have to carve out time, and it's hard to do because it's easy to get caught up in fixing this variance and, you know, getting this closing and getting these documents over and blah, blah, blah. You've got to stay focused on what got you busy in the first place, because that's where you want to be. And so that's one of those challenges. So, John, I'm just saying it for your benefit and everybody else. Be conscious of the fact that you're in the middle of a lot right now, and that's great, right? Get these things closed. Checks are coming your way. It's right where you want to be. But the priority has to remain, you know, you've got to find time to keep your foot on the gas so that this doesn't go away. Because otherwise,
exactly.
You go, I have money, I have no money, I have money, I have no money, and that's not how anybody wants
well,
to live.
Well, that is exactly where what has happened to me, because it's been 90 days for me since I've had a closing. And,
I'm
you know,
preaching
I'm,
to the
I'm,
choir here.
I'm breathing fumes right now, so, yes, sir. So, you know, I mean, look, I mean, you know, I'm going to be a part of 4 transactions this month. And how did that happen? So
what did you say? You're breathing what? I just want to write that down because it sounded funny.
Fumes.
Fumes.
Okay. Fumes, F-U-M-E-S.
Okay, I thought maybe, I've heard of that. I thought maybe you had some funny Alabama saying that I needed to
do. It was the accent, I guess. But
yeah, it was. Okay.
But, you know, the good thing about this other deal that, you know, I guess, stretching into next month will help me, but I sure don't want to relax and rest on my laurels just like
no,
you said.
No, it's got to be right now, and it's the 13th already, right? We've got to be thinking,
yeah,
what am I closing
next month?
If I
get four
month?
This month,
I
can get
month?
Two or three more next month.
And if right. You can get four this month in one city, you can get four a month in another city. And if you can get four
right.
A month in two cities, you can get four a month in three cities. And if you can
right.
Get four in three, you know, Rob, a couple years ago, was wholesaling in 18 cities. 18.
Yeah, wow.
With a small
wow.
Team. All right? So, great update, John. Good stuff. Who else?
Hey, Mike, this is Mark. I'm back.
Hey, Mark. Yep. I'm glad you said that because I had a note to, as soon as I was done with John.
Oh,
yeah, we
okay.
Lost you there. So.
Yeah. So, anyway, the owners, the sellers live in California.
Okay.
All right, so I need to get with them then and then be able to get my buyers into those houses and get a better idea of what is needed in there.
Yep.
Now, when I first talked to the gal, she said that, you know, that they had offers, but they were way too low. So I don't know, you know, what their price point's going to be on these.
I would call the sellers back and tell them, say, hey, I sent a couple legit buyers through, and they said that these places are beat. So shoot me straight. How much work do they need? When's the last time you've seen them? You know, what are we talking with here? Because here's the thing, Mark. There's a chance these are deals. They may not be. So let's try and figure out, you know, and let us know in the coaching email what feedback you get. But let's try and figure out as quickly as possible, because it sounds like they told you they didn't need much. Am I remembering the story right?
Well, one needed $10,500. The other needed $14,000 is what they said.
Okay, is what they said. Now, you sent two buyers that said these places are destroyed. So either we've got a couple deals here and just say, listen, I got some feedback. You said the places need this. I sent two buyers and they said they're destroyed, that those numbers aren't even close. So shoot me straight. What do they need? When's the last time you've seen the properties? Yada, yada, yada. And figure out if this is worth pursuing. Because what we want to do is the tendency is to try and, hey, let's make this a deal. It may or may not be. So that's where we've got to be sharp up front and say, let's go find something that has a realistic, you know, we've got a realistic estimate on, seller's motivated, that kind of thing. So I think a phone call to them to say, hey, the fix-up numbers you told me aren't even close. You know, what do these things really look like?
Okay.
And then based on that feedback, you'll have to decide, you want to get somebody local, you know, to go take some pictures for you or shoot a quick video on their phone, or do you just want to move on? And honestly, I mean, your buy prices on these things are what, 30-ish?
19 for one and 17 for the other, but if we
20 and 17.
Buy them both, but if they buy them both, then there's like a $2,900 discount, but still, I don't think from the sound of the buyers that's going to cut it.
Right. Yeah, either, because here's the thing. More fix-up is fine. You just have to buy cheaper. If they're not willing to buy cheaper. So, you know, have this conversation and just get it on the table and say, from the feedback I'm getting, these places need way more than that. So you say, I can deal with more fix-up, but that means we have to buy cheaper. Are you willing to go cheaper? And that's a yes or no question. And if no, then these are off the table. Let's find some others.
All right. Okay. Yep.
Good stuff. Who else? All of a sudden, it just got quiet again on my end. I don't know what's causing that, but.
Hey, Mike. Can you still hear us?
Yeah, I can when you talk. I don't know. Who knows?
Hey, Mike.
Who else? 3-4. Yeah.
Mike, it's Judah. Hey, I have a quick question. What's the best RMLO? Like the best price, best rates, all that good stuff.
The best, say that again?
RMLO.
Good question.
Stringing a seller.
I'm going to have to defer to Rob. I know they're grabbing them. I'm pretty sure, guys, loan officer. So if you're going to do owner financing, oftentimes, not always, it's in your best interest to run somebody through a loan officer to get them qualified, right? So that, you know, there's this Dodd-Frank. I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but I believe Rob is going to local loan officers in his different markets. But I'll be perfectly honest with you, I don't know that for a fact, because there are, you know, mortgage companies that go nationwide as well. So who asked the question again? I didn't catch your name when you said it.
Oh, this is Judah.
Judah, okay. I thought so. I just wanted to make sure. Yeah, I'll have to ask him, Captain. But I'm pretty sure from conversations with he and Brad, they're going to somebody local. Because here's the other reason why you like to go local, because you can talk to that same loan officer and say, you know, hey, here's what we do. If you have people that don't qualify, you know, for traditional financing, this is, you know, explain your business model. This is what we do. We'd love to talk with those folks because we've got some deals that, you know, that could work for them if they don't fit the, you know, the quote unquote mold at that point in time. So, yep. Kind of a kind of a win-win if you go local, because you can get some referrals out of them too. So.
Asking them to do a prequal?
Mm-hmm. Say that again.
Are you basically just asking the loan officer to do a prequal?
Yeah, they run them just like they're going to be a traditional buyer. Yep.
So basically it could be they'll run a deal or an automated underwriting thing?
Yeah, I'm so far removed from the mortgage business anymore. I know they're just hiring somebody that knows what they're doing. And what did he say at the live event? $750 a file or something like that? Did you guys write that down?
Yeah, like yep. $350.
$350? I don't remember what he said.
But we're seeing from $750 to several thousand dollars.
Yeah. This is totally side note, everybody. Not one of the steps. They just had a question. Lindsay and Judah went to Rob's live event, owner financing conversation. So it makes sense to plug this stuff in. Just it's not part of the steps. So I just want to, you know, I like to bring that up, that little disclaimer when things come up. This is not step 1 through 5. So
okay.
Side conversation here going on, which is fine for office hours. I just want to, I don't want to confuse anybody.
Hi, Mike.
Yep. Yeah, he's going local. Yeah.
Hi, no, this is Amar. I'm Knife's partner. I don't know if he's like if you've ever spoken. I've spoken to Rob before, one of the last office hours. Just had a quick question for you in that same vein. Then, pretty much, I'm helping him out more with the Craigslist lead swiper angle. Pretty much trying to get him potential leads as we can, either from the for rent by owners or for the FSBOs. And I was just curious. Now, when it comes to more like the seller financing type of homes or more like the wholesale lease options, those type of like potentials, basically homes selling on terms, what type of filters would you use when you kind of screen out those type of ads? I'm just curious because
he's
I'm
still going to
him,
renters.
Like, stuff which he can call, but
he's still going to renters.
He's
going to renters and for sale by owners. That's it. The for rent section.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then we basically just contact everyone and ask them if they would be interested in selling their home, and then take it from there.
That's the conversation. Yep.
Okay.
And see if they're not even open to the option, your phone call's done right there. But yep.
Right. Okay. Makes sense. Yeah. Yep. So it's just a quick qualifying question, and then take it from there.
You got it.
Cool.
You can even lead that in with a text message.
Right,
I saw your ad for rent on Craigslist, you wouldn't be interested in selling, would you?
Right. Okay.
So a lot of it, they have the VA do that, and then when they get replies, then Lee gets on the phone and calls them. So.
Okay. Yep.
Again, everybody, not steps 1 through 5. So.
Right.
Stay focused on where you're at.
Trading. Right.
Stay focused. Yep. Stay where
you're at. And Mike, this is Knife again. Quick question. This is more for the group. For the people that are, I didn't know that there were fix and flippers and other types of people that are doing this course. But everyone who's doing this course, are they learning wholesaling specifically?
That's
the foundation. Because I've heard a couple of
conversations. Yeah, so we have people in here who have never done a deal, and we have people in here who have done tons of deals. We have folks who just decided I want to be a real estate investor, and we have folks who have been investors for a long time. Right? Property managers, fix and flip investors, people have, maybe wholesaled one here and there. So, the core of the success teams is about build a foundation that'll support whatever it is you want to do with real estate. And that's be a wholesaler. And this is what Rob learned years ago. This is the triangle that we lay out with everybody on the orientation call, the base of the triangle, generating leads. Why? Because if you know how to generate leads and if you're good at it, you can always get paid. As an investor, if nothing else, you can sell your leads. Right above that, build a buyer's list. Why? Because if you know how to generate good leads and you know how to find legit buyers, you can cash checks for as long as you're alive and breathing and have a telephone and probably internet, right?
Okay, so everyone here
level,
is
middle of the triangle.
Doing one. Okay.
Middle of the triangle,
so doing
systems. Why?
Okay.
Because now if you know how to generate leads and you know how to find buyers and you know how to put some systems in place, you can generate consistent cash, which is level 4, And then level five is cash flow, where it starts to get passive. So many investors wholesale a deal or two, or they flip a deal or two, and they say, I want to build passive income. That's what I'm after. I'm after the passive income. And what the Success Teams is all about is what Rob has figured out. Be wholesaler first, and then it makes passive income easy. So what Rob is doing right now is he's generating passive level five income, but he generates leads on a weekly basis. He has a VA do it. He still builds buyers lists, even though today he's primarily his best buyer. He still builds a buyers list, always, in every market. He still gets his systems, you know, further dialed in. Obviously, they're dialed, what we teach. He still generates cash at every closing, and ultimately he's after cash flow. So even though it appears like he's only focused on the very top level five of that triangle, it's levels one through four that are holding it up, making it work. Make sense?
Yeah.
So we don't care what your background is. If you want your business to go to the next level, we go through the same steps. Why? Because that's the foundation you need that'll support wherever it is you want to go.
Okay. And I have another quick question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So is everyone looking for these VAs in Upwork? Because when I, you know, this is for a long-term question as well, because as we keep doing this and hiring more VAs, because I think right now I have three to five VAs. But the thing is that, you know, when I look for Intellius and these kind of people, unless I'm going to train somebody to do it, and I also have that set up so that, if, you know, worst case scenario, if we have another nightmare scenario like this, I can train a VA within a day and I have a video and everything ready for that. But how is it possible that there are only seven or eight people skip tracing in all of Upwork? Or is, you know, are there other websites as well? Because that makes no sense.
There are a ton of other websites. That's just the one that Rob likes to use. So, yeah, I mean, if you just Google VA websites, you know, just like anything else, there will be hundreds. So.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You can find quality people anywhere. We just, instead of taking the, you know, instead of saying, hey, go to Google, you know, for the purpose of our success teams here, instead of saying go to Google, input a search for VA websites, pick one. You know, try that one, figure out how to post, yada, 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 right? We want this to go as streamlined and easy as possible, so we just hand it over and say, hey, go to Upwork, because that's the one we know.
Okay, so, I got you.
Yep. You got it. Who else? Updates and questions.
This is Gary.
Gary, how are you? I was sorry to hear about your friend. Welcome back.
Yep. Yes.
Welcome back.
So... Thank you. So making calls, sending out probate letters, and got a deal, but just like the previous callers mentioned, what the owner told me was the repairs was way off.
Is this the one in Florida?
This is another one in Florida. This is the second one.
Okay.
Still, because I've got more leads we're working on, too. I put a... sent a guy there with eyes on, and he said it was an absolute disaster.
Right.
In fact, he
talked. What did the owner tell
you?
He
said the owner said, "Oh, I need some work, so maybe $20,000 worth."
And what do you think the real number
is? The real number that I did on because of the square footage that I did on FreedomSoft, and the real number that the guy, because the guy that went there, he's a contractor.
Yep.
He said, if we get lucky, it might be $48,000. Because
so
he went and talked
20,
to the neighbors.
The real number is 50.
Yeah, and the contractor talked to neighbors on both sides. He said that home's been vacant for 4 years. That's why it's an absolute disaster.
Yep.
So I went back to the owner, and we tried to negotiate, but he wouldn't. He wouldn't even move on the price. And so I told him, it's realistic. If you want to do this deal, let's find a way to make this work.
Right.
And he said, just give me the cash I want. And I said, well, I guess it's not going to work then.
Right.
Because
that's a great guy for an autoresponder.
Yeah.
Follow up. Hey, are you still stuck on your price? So.
Yep.
And
I'll stick him in the.
Some people never come around, you guys. That just is, it just is what it is. Some people never come around, but yep, he's worth following up with. So what,
yeah, so
what happened
got,
to the other one in Florida that you're gonna fix up?
That was the one that, the, if you remember, I got screwed on that one, because when we went to do the paperwork,
yeah,
the next day, we had an appointment at 1 o'clock, and this was Jacksonville. The realtor was going to go over there, and
that's
9 o'clock
right,
in the morning.
Yeah, for $3,000,
they scooped us.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
Gary,
they screwed us.
Share your pain with everybody. So, Gary had a. It was under contract, right? Or no, you were the Gary was having
an agent
the following day to get it signed.
Yeah, because we had a verbal deal.
They had a verbal. And between that time, the morning of that day, they had like an appointment at 1 o'clock that morning or whatever. Somebody called on the same deal and offered $3,000 more than Gary was offering, and the seller just took it instead of calling Gary back and saying, hey, we have an appointment. I just got another offer at 3. Do you want to match it? I'll still go at 1 o'clock, which they should have done in our opinion, but they took the other offer. So,
yeah, they were really bad. Because, I mean, there was enough margin, and I would have paid them 4. I would have offered higher than
yeah,
the 3.
Yeah, Gary would have upped it. So, yeah, at the end of the day, the seller wasn't, very integrous. I think that's the word. About the whole situation, and they could have made more money, because Gary would have said, "Great,
yeah.
I'll up my offer by 4, and my agent will still be there at 1 o'clock." So, anyway,
yeah, but
yeah,
we've got
another reality.
We've got another.
Unfortunately, it happens.
Oh yeah, but we've got we also have a home. The guy's doing boots on the ground look right now. In
cool.
San Antonio, and another one in Jacksonville. So we keep pushing forward.
Cool. Yeah, that's exactly the response. That's exactly the response. So, well, Gary, good to have you back. I know you have a lot happening. Good stuff. I know you had some I'm assuming you had a great time with the grandkids.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Hard not to when you're grandpa, right? Cool.
That's it.
Good stuff.
Absolutely.
Who else? Updates and questions. Anyone?
We got
Mike.
This is Lindsay. And our update is we chose one city, and I'm only about like 75% sure that I like the city, but I went ahead and chose it and just did a little bit of marketing over there. And actually looks like we may be moving forward in it as a buy and hold.
Do you have bird dogs ready to go there?
No.
What do you mean did a little bit of marketing?
I just did a little bit of Craigslist marketing.
Oh, no, Lindsay. We don't go off script around here, girl. you know I can't let you go off script on this call without saying something about it, right?
Really? Okay. Well, I mean, a lot of things, and this was just one of them, but it's a great deal. It's only $5,000 down. We're going to start doing our due diligence on it, and it looks like it'd be a great buy and hold at about $85,000. So,
cool. And when are you posting your ad for bird dogs?
Judah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, push it off on Hubs. I see. I see how it works.
He's going to do it today.
Cool. Hey, when there's two of you, I'm not saying, if you guys have an idea, don't add it in, but stick to the script, because vacant houses produce. You hear it over and over again on this call. And when you guys launch a new market and you want to go from zero to checks to closings in as little time as possible, grab a bird dog or two and have them go drive vacant, skip trace them, and call them.
Mm-hmm.
It's so effective. That's why we do it. So I'm excited for you. You've got a deal on the table, but get those bird dogs in play and watch how many will come on. It's a killer process. So
right on.
Yes.
Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Aaron in Denver again. I have a question real quick. I am super brand new and just barely getting into the materials, but I have, you know, I've been kind of flying by the seat of my pants with the stuff I've done here so far. And my question is kind of with regard to, like, say, earnest money and stuff like that, putting down, I guess, are we going to have standard contracts that we're using that
are you going to have what?
Or offers, standard contracts or offers that we're sending out?
Yeah, they're in step four.
Earnest money? Okay, step four.
Not all usually. Right. Yeah, if you buy a listed property, it probably states earnest money. A lot of times when Rob puts a house under contract, he'll do it for $10, work into a private seller. You know, I don't know if John's still on. A lot of the deals John ties up have zero earnest money. It's whatever. The contract is whatever two people agree to, right?
Okay, right. No, absolutely.
So it's really common for listed properties. When you're talking to a seller, it's whatever the two of you agree to.
Right. Gotcha.
So here's how you present it. You know, hey, Aaron, yeah, this is great. You know, we've got a price. I'll get that paperwork over for $30,000. I'm accustomed to doing this, you know, without earnest money. I don't know if you've bought and sold houses in the past. Or sometimes I'll just say, you know, I typically do it for $10. That just, you know, kind of secures our, you know, put $10 in with a title company. That secures our position. If they don't bring it up, we don't bring it up. We have a verbal for 30. Great. I'll get that paperwork ready to go. What's your email? I'll have it over to you in about 15 minutes. Does that work for you? Fantastic. Hey, I'm going to send it electronically through a service called, HelloSign, or, you know, we use those all the time. And, you know, you don't even have to print it. You can just sign it right there on your smartphone or computer. Does that sound
right?
Okay?
Now, I mean, I guess I'm thinking of a recent situation I had where I tracked down a guy whose house was he'd listed it several times over here in the Berkeley neighborhood in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those double wide lots that you could scrape and build a duplex on. And we agreed on a price off market. It was right at the end of his lease. And then, but I kind of wrote it up as, you know, as a standard, you know, Colorado contract. And I let him know, like, hey, I'm going to shop this around for, you know, make sure we can get the money, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, we had an agreed upon price, but he had no confidence basically because he'd had a deal fall through in the past for lack of funding.
Right.
And
right.
So then so I don't know. I'm so brand new at, you know, the process of it and getting
it
done.
We cover a lot of that disclosure. Rob did a training. It's at the top of step four, I believe. So there's a lot of stuff in there. There's the contracts Rob's using in there. There are two purchase and sale agreements. There's an assignment agreement. And sometimes he uses the state contract. Just depends on the situation. Typically, when we're going to a homeowner, you can use that paperwork that's in the coaching center. If there's an agent involved on the other end, because Rob still buys deals from online, they'll typically be on the state contract in whatever state you're in. So, like down in Texas, he's bought and sold, I should say bought primarily quite a few with the TREC, TREC, Texas Real Estate Commission, with their contract. So he's got that uploaded into FreedomSoft. He's got the three that are in the coaching center in FreedomSoft. You know, you can hold them all in there. You know, the state contracts will be 15 pages typically.
Yeah, those are brutal.
11 to 16 pages. But yeah, when you're at that step, there's a great video in there on intent and capacity, and Rob talks about disclosure and all that stuff. So we'll be crossing that bridge here in the near future with you.
About what to say to the seller about kind of what your intentions are for the
absolutely
property,
and
that
needs to be
that sort of stuff
fully disclosed on the paperwork, whatever it is that you use, whether it's the state contract or, you know, like a one page that you can download in the coaching center. He did a whole training on that. The problem that investors get into is they say one thing, they say, yeah, I'm a buyer, and then they assign it or they turn out to be something else,
right?
And so, you know, the fix is disclose everything. I may buy this, I may assign it. And so, you know, the contract says buyer /and/or assigner. So just be above board. Tell the tell the buyer your intent. Hey, I'm not going to buy this, but, you know, I work with a large group of buyers in the area. I typically do assignments. Here's how it works. Bam, bam, bam. Just tell them.
What if you don't work with a large group of buyers?
I work
with a handful. Eventually.
I work with a handful of buyers in the area that are looking for deals just like this, and so I'll be taking it to my buyers list.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's simple. Yep. Yeah, gotcha. And when you start building a buyers list, you'll build it to, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40. And plus, a large list is it's all relative anyway. I say a large list is 6.
Sure. I mean, you only need as many as you actually need.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, we want enough. The reason you build a large buyer's list is so that you can build an effective buyer's list. You really, you know, you get it to 100 so that you have 10 people that are legit that can really close, have cash ready to go. So, yep.
Right. Well, one of them screws you over, you go to the next one.
If you find a good deal in Colorado, let me know.
Who? Say that again?
Oh, this is Mike in Lakewood. I was just going to say, Darren, if you find a good deal in Colorado, let me know.
Look at that.
Okay. Trust me. Well, the thing with it was, is like I'm very honest about, you know, because I was potentially wanting to, you know, even buy, move in for a little while, maybe work it as a development deal myself. But I just didn't, I knew that I didn't have the down payment money right now. And that actually has happened to me twice, the two different guys. I was like, I want to get this under contract first, chop it to my investor friends that I know who can help me make this happen. But, you know, guys, folks are like, you know, get back with me whenever you know you got the money.
Hey, so this is jumping ahead a little bit, but there is an assignment agreement in there that doesn't give you exclusive right to buy. So if you put it under contract, you're the buyer for X number of days. There's one in there, the assignment agreement just says that you can simultaneously market the property. If they find a buyer, great, but if you find a buyer, here's your price and here's how you'll get paid.
Gotcha.
Or if you find a buyer,
the option contract?
Yeah. So that gives, that's like a both and. Say, hey, let's get this in place. This paperwork allows me to do some marketing to my list, tell them I have a contract for sale, but it's not exclusive. So if you guys find a buyer, great. And now
does that protect you on the same side of the table?
Does
that protect you if you market it to someone else and they come in and you know, do you have exclusive with – you know what I mean? If you take it to one of you – that was my fear, is I'm going to take it to somebody I don't know too well. They're going to grab, you know.
It could happen. Don't let it keep you from moving forward. Yeah. I mean,
gotcha.
Do people do crooked things? Yeah.
Right.
Of course.
Listen,
most
everybody
the
raises
the
cherry on
no.
that one.
Most of the time they don't. You know, I heard there are a handful of bad people that run around. You know, they're active. They move around to different states. But for the most part, people are fairly honest when it comes to this stuff. Not even fairly. Most people are just honest about it. Things happen. I mean, you just heard Gary's story.
And you can't base your whole career on one deal, you know?
No.
Yeah. I got a question for you regarding this. This guy is, you know, he may be motivated. He may not be motivated. He's got more motivated as we were talking. I don't know whether I should, you know, come out and say I might assign it or how to say that or not say that and when.
Yeah, so you want to get that one under contract. You'll be the buyer or assignor. Is he trying to sell the property? I don't think he is, right? It's not currently listed?
He's not trying to sell it. He's open to selling it. But
you can be the only deal in town. Where that both and works really nice is if they're already looking to do something to the property and you jump in and say, hey, I've got a handful of buyers that are legit that would probably be interested in this thing. Let's do this.
Right.
Let's get this document in place. You keep marketing it. This will allow me to market it. And whoever brings the buyer to the table first.
There's another guy that I called, and he has 5 properties and 2 duplexes he wants to get rid of. I could use that on those.
Yeah. So that's like a joint marketing agreement type deal.
Yeah,
so.
You market, I market. And, yeah, okay.
Yep.
But with this other guy, I should just talk to him about the deal and And then at the closing, I say, oh, by the way, I might assign it.
No, that's on the contract. You're the buyer or assignor. And actually, if your intent is to assign it, on Rob's it says seller should understand or he puts a line item on there, buyer's intent. Buyer's intent is to assign this contract. So that's the thing. If that's your intent up front, just tell them. Just say, hey, I'm going to assign this contract to my other, to one of my buyers. That's what I'm going to do with it. They probably don't even ask what that means. If, this guy, I think, has been an investor, he'll know what that means. So what?
He'll probably know what it means.
Yeah.
It's in bold font.
If somebody asks, just say
an assignment fee is like a finder's fee. There are buyers who are looking. They have money to spend. I'm an expert at finding good deals, and so I bring them to them, and they pay me to bring them.
Right.
Or just most people don't ask. That's the real answer.
That assignment agreement or joint marketing or tandem marketing agreement type thing, that probably would go south if they decided to list with an actual agent and they signed a typically exclusive? Yeah, they get be exclusive.
Agents are typically exclusive, but not necessarily. They don't have to be. So.
Cool.
Yep. And here's how I follow all this up, because we're talking about legal documents and paperwork. I'm not an attorney. Rod's not an attorney. We're not attorneys. We're not licensed. Big old disclaimer here on the recording. So every market Rob works in, he meets a local real estate attorney to run some questions by. He pays on occasion to get the knowledge that he needs. Like the one guy down in, for those of you at the event, what's his name was there? I can see his face. I'll think of it. Anyway, he runs the largest real estate club in San Antonio, and he's an attorney. And he came up to Rob's event, and so Rob got to know him. And, he's run some things by him. So either a really experienced agent who knows it or a real estate attorney. Plan on having somebody like that you can go to, because the rules and regulations are going to change, and they're probably going to get a little more strict. I don't know if strict is the right word. They're coming, right? We've talked about it numerous times during office hours. The real estate lobby's big, and they're active. And some of them think that wholesalers are brokering deals without a license. That's the opinion of a lot or some of the lobby, from my understanding. And so, a couple states have put some new laws in place where it says you can't, if you have a contract, you can't advertise that you have a property for sale. You can advertise that you have a contract for sale, because that's what you have. So advertise that you have a contract for sale.
With equitable interests.
Yep. Yeah, just know the game. We certainly, we're not attorneys. And then, like a Colorado attorney, they don't know how to advise you in Texas. You have to get a Texas attorney, a Texas agent that knows what's going on, and just plan on that being part of the team that you'll add as you go forward. So it's not like you need to do it on day one, but it's going to be a changing landscape. So just know that that's the world we live in. So, who else? Any other questions? Good questions. We always have good questions.
I have a question.
So. Yeah.
When you send out a contract through FreedomSoft, and it gets executed by the seller or whoever.
Yep.
You can't get it to come automatically back in when they email it to you, can you?
You can't. Yeah, good question. To get that FreedomSoft to receive email is a colossal task. We're thinking about tackling it. Here's the thing, though. So check this out. Every lead record in there needs to have a unique coded email address, because if I'm talking to John Smith and I have 10,000 leads, and John said, and I send an offer to John Smith and he turns around and replies, we want that email to go back into John Smith's record. So there's organization. So that means that if I have 10,000 leads in there, I have to have 10,000 unique markers that put a little mark out on where that went from, and then so when it comes back in, they match them up and it knows where to put it. Just like when you tie a phone number to a campaign, although this gets more granular because it's not the campaign level, it's at the specific lead level. So it's similar to Craigslist. Craigslist hides your email so somebody can't just scrape it and spam everybody on Craigslist, and it turns it into a coded email. Most of you are familiar with Craigslist, so that when you reply, it goes back to that code. So every posting on Craigslist gets a unique email to reply to. That's what we would have to build in FreedomSoft, and we're chewing on it. It's just a...
Well, is that how Podio does it? Because I think it does it in Podio.
Don't know.
Just I know you probably wouldn't know. But.
If there's organization, it has to turn every lead into a unique email marker, and I don't know the technical.
Hey, Mike.
Mike probably does. Yeah.
Maybe you only do that for leads that you send out an email or a contract from.
It just creates it on site.
Yeah, instead of creating a marker for every lead, which you're not really going to ever need it for every lead,
right.
But you do it instantaneously the moment that you create an offer for that lead you send them an email for that lead.
When the email gets sent.
Yeah,
there would be
cut the way down.
There would be a way to do it. It's just it seems like somebody asked that same question in the support center today.
Oh, okay.
So they pushed it over to me for an answer. So it seems like, hey, I can send an email. Why can't I receive one? And it's just a function of it's an organizational thing. You know, could it come back into like a general inbox? It could, and then we'd just have to have one inbox for every user. But that's not very handy. You want it to come back into the lead that you sent it from.
Yeah,
that's
it's not
handy.
Any different than it coming back to your Gmail or whatever, and then you...
Right. Yep. So yeah, it's in the works. We've thrown it around. I would guess at some point it does it. I can't, you know.
It's on the bottom of the totem pole. I got you.
Yep. Yeah, we got to get these websites live. The guys have been on this one for a while. It's going to be slick, you guys. Rob told me that you're going to have the ability to build sales funnels online with it. So.
Wow.
I haven't
awesome.
Seen it demoed yet, but yeah, it's gonna be killer. So it's taken months longer than we thought, but it'll be worth waiting for.
I want to build something for when people come to my open houses, so that instead of them signing a sign-in sheet manually with a piece of paper, that they come in and there's an iPad or something on the table, and they just put their information right in there, and they don't have to translate it from the paper into. Is that available now?
Yeah, you could set up a campaign. On the right side of a campaign, there's a shareable link.
Yeah.
And so every campaign creates a unique URL.
Yes.
And so you could go to that. You could have that URL pulled up. So some people use this, like when they have a live call center answer, then they give them this URL, and they say, you know, talk to whoever calls in, fill out their information on this quick little form. It's basically like a web form, but it's a web page. It's a URL. You fill it out, click submit, and it sends it into that campaign. So you could do that right now.
I could do that. And then would it be conducive to having people sign in at an open house where they come in and they sign in and then click submit? And then
they could just put in their name, email, you know, like their contact info. It would have a couple irrelevant boxes for you. But if they were walking in and you just had little instructions next to the iPad that says, you know, put in your name, phone number, email, and then click submit at the bottom.
Yeah.
We'd appreciate it. And then they could just do it right there. Yep.
I'll give it a shot.
Cool. Darren, here's what you should do is have them fill it out, and then you should just do the data entry yourself.
No way.
Yeah, man. You're a control freak, remember?
Not doing it anymore.
I work
14 hours a day now. I want to work 13 hours a day.
That's right.
Week.
I'm trying to get this to 13.5.
That's right.
I love
Maybe
it.
Seven.
That's right.
You call it Kaizen.
Kaizen. Yep.
Next
week, we didn't tell everybody either. Part of the success teams is you have to get a Kaizen tattoo before you graduate.
Wow.
So, yeah, even if you're not into ink, it's too bad.
When I
sleeping and my whole business is working without me, then I'll get the tattoo.
I love it. I love it. All right, everybody. Good discussion tonight, as always.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, stay the course. Don't waver. I know you want to add some other stuff in. You know, a couple of you have a bigger team and you can pull that off, but stay the course. It pays off. It really does.
Right.
So, good stuff, everyone. Good talking to you. Have a great afternoon. Great weekend. Chat Monday.
Yep, thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Thank you. You too.